Hello and welcome to episode 2 of the One Team in Wales podcast by Taff and Daff. You're listening to me, Blake Binton, alongside me today. I've not got Peter Miller, but I've got a very adequate replacement in Alid Hopkins as we preview Glamorgan against Nottinghamshire later on. But first, we need to break down the chaos that was Glamorgan against Yorkshire in their return to Division 1. Alid, you were there alongside me for a couple of the days, and I know you were following along on the stream for the last 2 days as well, and you were sweating a bit, weren't you?
Yeah. We'll come on to the ins and outs of the day's play, but yeah, you know, a county championship game that ebbed and flowed. It had everything from an entertainment value that you want from a 4 day county championship game. Lots of ups and downs, momentum changes. And yeah, as you said, as a Glamorgan fan, I think there was a point, particularly yesterday, when Adam Lythe was going at a good rate, it was looking a bit sweaty for Glamorgan, and you were questioning whether that declaration was a good decision. But in the end, you know, a really positive first game, I think, for Glamorgan. 12 points on the board, a good amount on the board, and loads of positives, I think, to take from that first game.
Yeah, overall, it's not really something you can complain with. If we go through the scorecard, 302 all out in the first innings after losing 60 overs on that first day, making 302, batting most of day two as well, 120 overs total for their innings. Yorkshire responded with 226, and then Glamorgan with that bold declaration, which we'll come on to, 218 for 5, setting Yorkshire 295 in 68 overs, of which they got to 239 for 7 when the game was eventually drawn. So obviously a very frustrating first day, losing those 60 overs and one that, you know, had they had those 60 overs, Glamorgan would feel they probably would have won the game. But you've got to see it as a positive outing, getting 12 points out of the game, Alid?
Yeah, 100%. It was definitely more positives than negatives. I think there are still some concerns that, you know, we potentially have, or some new concerns might have possibly developed from the game. But I think overall, I look at it really positively. I think Yorkshire are a good side, and that was a really tough test first up to contend with. I mean, there's going to be no easy games in Division One this year, but, you know, I think Yorkshire are a team that many of the county championship experts and journalists, etc., have tipped to do quite well this season. It's got some good players, and obviously, you know, Johnny Besto leaving the game for Yorkshire was a stroke of luck for Glamorgan. But I thought they, you know, throughout the game, apart from that period where they were 28 for 4 at one point early on after that rain delay at the start of the game, I think you'd have to say on the balance, Glamorgan, you know, had the lion's share of the match for most of it. Once Colin Ingram and Ben Kellaway kind of steadied the ship on day one, after that, those early flurry of wickets, I think it was not smooth sailing by any stretch, but I think Glamorgan had the better of the game throughout.
Yeah, it did feel a bit head in hands, didn't it, for us sat there at 28-4 after waiting 5 hours for play to start. But then, of course, you know, some members of the top order proved themselves. Eddie Byron with 40, Kieran Carlson 53, and of course Ingram a century and 75 in the two innings. So Byron and Carlson in particular, who struggled in the first innings, did get a score in the second. So, you know, I think we could probably agree there's not that much to worry about in the top seven, is there?
No, it looked pretty solid, didn't it? I think the only sort of slight negative, and we have to, you know, we have to paraphrase everything we say with it. It's game one, and it's still only week one, both positively and negatively. You know, it would have been nice to see Asa Tribe get off to a flyer with all the talk around him in the winter and coming off the back of the winter he's had. But, you know, as I said, it's game one. It's still early days. There's plenty of opportunities, and that top seven, yeah, especially, you know, Ingram, Carlson in the second innings, Kellaway in the first innings. Yeah, as you said, really proved that they're going to be a really tough top seven to get out this year. And they've got that ability to dig in when needed and to score really valuable runs, especially, you know, I wrote a piece on it for Taff and Daff about sort of Colin Ingram needing to play that innings, using his experience, using that sort of cricket brain that he has, and guiding Ben Kellaway, who's a lot younger than him, who, you know, looked really comfortable in the game as well. It has to be said, he wasn't just being dragged along by Colin Ingram. He was more than holding his own. But it's that experience of those players like Ingram and like Kieran Carlson now, who's, you know, still under 30, but he's an experienced player in this team. Chris Cook as well, that are really, you know, helping that team get out of the funk that they were in early on.
And there's two players I want to talk about as well, who obviously got Glamorgan into that great position where they fell just short of winning the game in both innings, is Mason Crane and Ryan Hadley, who Crane making the most of what was quite a sporting pitch, offering a bit of turn, which we saw Don Best get a lot out of for Yorkshire as well. Crane took 8 wickets in the game. Hadley offering some high pace with at 6'5" as well, getting the ball to carry through. He took 3 in each innings. They looked like the starlets for Glamorgan with the ball, didn't they?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm on Mason Crane, first of all. I mean, getting off, but even before he'd come out to bowl, getting 51 with a bat. I know he talked to you about sort of improving his batting and seeing himself as a spinner, having to provide more with the bat and coming out and getting that 51 with Tim van der Hoopten as well, a good partnership with him, was you know, just kicked off what was an excellent game for him. And then, yeah, coming out with the ball, it was everything we wanted from Mason Crane, wasn't it, in the first game. We talked about his ability to take wickets, to be attacking in Red Bull cricket, you know, to have the opportunity to be attacking and to try and take wickets. And he really seemed to continue on that really good form that he ended last season on. And, you know, I think I said to you at one point, if he can come into this first game and take 6 wickets between the two innings, you know, that would be a very, very good return. And what did he end up taking? Was it 8 in the game and just under half of Glamorgan's total wickets in the entire match? So it's a fantastic start for Mason Crane. Everything we wanted to see out of him in game one, and let's hope he's really thrown himself into the ring now as a somebody you can't afford to drop. Never mind what the surface may be doing. And then Ryan Hadley, yeah, I think really positively. I don't want to say surprised, because we didn't really know much about him. We didn't know what we were going to get coming in. But really really positively encouraged by the way he bowled. I think if he can take 6 wickets a match, something around that mark, you know, for the time that he's here, it's going to be a really, really valuable contribution. I don't think he's going to be a like-for-like replacement for Asitha Fernando from last season, you know, but if he can bowl like he did, he kept the scoring down a lot as well, bowled really good areas, consistent line, and was a threat taking wickets as well. If he can play like that, he's going to be a really valuable member for us this season.
Well, I spoke to Richard Dawson after play on day 4 about Ryan Hadley.
He bowled exceptionally well. Every spell he bowled was on the money. I thought his length he bowled in his first game in English conditions with the Duke's ball as well was top class. And I just thought he was really good. Always making something happen. That first innings against the tail when he bowled fast and he bowled aggressively. And then obviously second innings, slower pitch, but he still was on the money and he made things happen. So yeah, really good addition.
That was Richard Dawson talking to me there about the new overseas bowler Ryan Hadley, who took 6 wickets in the opening game. Now, Alid, we're going to hear from Kieran Carlson in a moment about the decision to declare. So let's just give our thoughts on it. First of all, 68 overs left in the day, declaring 6 minutes before the scheduled lunch break with a lead of just 294. It seemed a strange decision.
Yeah, I'm not too sure it was, in my view, the correct decision. I know in the end, you know, Yorkshire didn't end up getting the runs and that Glamorgan got 7 wickets. But in my view, it was a little bit naive. I think I would have liked to have seen them just see those 6 or so overs before lunch out and just add an extra 30 or 35. I know, I think it was Kieran said that the field that Yorkshire had set a field against that, and you know, runs weren't going to be as easy as that to get, and I understand that point of view. But yeah, it just, that was my only concern. I think it was slightly naive from Kieran Carlson a little bit, because I get what he's saying in that you're looking at the amount of overs you've got to potentially take 10 wickets, but I think, you know, when you And sometimes when you declare before lunch and give the opposition six or seven overs or so to survive before a lunch or tea break, you're hoping that those batters go out there just try not to get themselves out right, and you're just trying not to make a mistake and are very defensive, and you can pick something up whilst they're in kind of survival mode until that break. But I think the game at that point had changed, and now it was a run chase, now it was a one day game. So I don't think you would have had that from Yorkshire, and I think that's what we saw with, you know, Adam Lyth coming out and getting 97 in the end. And, you know, they really took it to the Glamorgan bowlers and batted really well. But yeah, from my point of view, I think I would have first game of the season from that position. I like that they're being aggressive and being attacking and trying to win the game. But I think I would have just erred on the side of caution a little bit more if I was Kieran Carson myself.
It has to be said as well, for those who weren't there and didn't catch much of the game at all, that it was a good pitch to bat on. There wasn't much in it in terms of scoring quickly. It was quite slow and it was keeping low from one end, and there was a bit of turn, but there wasn't a great deal of demons, particularly facing the likes of Van der Hoekten and Gorvin, who really struggled to threaten in more than just an economical sense. And it's interesting as well, Johnny Bairstow was obviously ruled out the game on day one with a knock to his thumb, which ended up being a fracture, and he had to be substituted out the game for Will Luxton, who luckily didn't come in and do any damage to Glamorgan as well, because it'd be interesting to see if Kieran did that declaration if Johnny Bairstow was in the game, knowing what his prowess is like.
Yeah, absolutely. That was definitely a factor. And I think, you know, fair play to Kieran if he saw that that chance, really, without a player like Johnny Bairstow in the Yorkshire lineup. And perhaps thought, you know, we might not get this opportunity again with a player of his stature out of the lineup. So maybe that played into Kieran's thinking a little bit. I'm not sure, and fair play to him if it did. But yeah, it was definitely a factor. And I think, you know, it was a shame overall for everyone who was at the ground and watching on the stream, perhaps, that we didn't get to see a player like Johnny Bairstow at the Fire Gardens on an Easter weekend. But you know, it definitely, I think, favoured Glamorgan. As much as you don't want to see injuries to any player, it definitely was a stroke of luck, I think, for Glamorgan. And yeah, allowed them to sort of be a little bit more aggressive, perhaps.
Well, we can hear from Kieran Carlson, who also spoke after the game, speaking about that declaration decision, as well as his own half century and first game as permanent captain.
Yeah, it was more kind of the overs left in the day and giving ourselves enough time to bowl them out, essentially. I think the runs, I think we had enough. They've obviously got a very good batting lineup, but we backed ourselves on a slow wicket with some spin to kind of be able to shut up shop if we needed to, as we kind of had to when Lyth was kind of going about his business. But we knew that if we hadn't tried to have enough overs in the bank, then there could have always been a really tricky half hour, 40 minutes back end. And unfortunately, didn't quite get them 8-9 down, which would have been nice. But yeah, it's one of those things. And the processes were all right, even though it's very cliche. They were. You obviously backed yourself to bowl really well as a bowling team, and we did. And yeah, it could have gone the other way, but I guess that's the kind of risk you take. I prefer to be in with a chance of winning a game of cricket and that way, and back our bowling team to shut up shop if we needed to. And I think that's the way we want to be playing. Obviously, first game of the year, we didn't want to take too much of a risk, and they bowled really well, to be fair. I think Don Bess held up an end beautifully, kind of all the way through that second dig, and didn't let us get away. I think in another game we could have gone a bit harder, but yeah, they didn't really allow us that. So yeah, it was a good run out, and boys are kind of excited to get going again, to be honest. We just want to play and put our best foot forward and try and win more games cricket.
And obviously you've been a senior figure in the change room for a long time now and captained the white ball, but with this being your first permanent time doing the red ball captaincy, and it's been known for a long time that it would be you, it's not a new thing. How have the last few months been?
Yeah, pretty tiring. But no, it's been good. Like, I've been ready for it. I love doing it. There's a lot of guys in there that help me out on the pitch and a lot of senior guys, but it's something that I really enjoy doing more than anything. I love changing fields, getting funky on the pitch and trying to use my cricket brain, and that's something that I just enjoy doing as a whole. And yeah, look, I'm going to try and keep doing my best throughout the year. And like I said, plenty of help in the dressing room. A lot of guys who've played over 100 games that will be there to kind of support me along the way.
Well, that was Kieran Carlson speaking to me and the other journalists after the draw with Yorkshire, where Glamorgan picked up 12 points, Yorkshire picked up 10. So definitely a positive start. If we look forward, Nottinghamshire this week, who were County Championship Division 1 champions last year. So on paper, the hardest game Glamorgan are going to have, particularly second game of the season. They also started off with a draw in what looked like a rather a boring game that petered out that way, it's fair to say, down at Taunton. Aled, how are we looking at this one with much positivity?
I think Glamorgan will be really positive. I think they'll be really encouraged by that first game. And, you know, you can't go into any of these games with any fear. And yeah, of course, Notts are the reigning champions. They're a very, very good side. They've got some fantastic players and, you know, had a decent result in their opening game. But I think, you know, first trip on the road to Trent Bridge, you know, a really iconic ground, a test ground. A lot of, you know, the first opportunity a lot of these players would have had to play at Trent Bridge in a Red Bull game. So I think it's a great opportunity. I don't see, you know, from that opening game, Nottinghamshire really lighting the world on fire. I mean, Somerset are a very good side as well. So, you know, that was quite an even and level game. But I think they'll go there with no fear. And I think they need to apply that to everyone they play this season. And, you know, if you're looking objectively at the season, and you go up there and you probably, perhaps you don't get as many points as you do at home, you know, you'll settle for that against the likes of Nottinghamshire and Surrey and those ones that are perhaps going to be tipped to be up the top, particularly away from home. You just go there and play your best cricket and see how many points you can come home with. And I think that'll be the approach. But I certainly don't expect them to go up there and be really fearful of Notts.
Well, Kieran said after the game as well, didn't he, that they just want to play positively and that every team they play against has got test players in. So no game is going to be easy. I mean, if we look at the 11 they put out away at Somerset, which obviously it might differ at home, but Haseeb Hameed, who scored plenty of runs last season, Ben Slater, Freddie McCann, Joe Clark, obviously a franchise player, but he scored 92 himself, Jack Haynes, Kyle Varane, the South African keeper, Lyndon James, who's a good up-and-coming all-rounder, Liam Paterson-White, who offers a bit of balance with left-arm spin, Robert Lord, who's quite unexposed, and then you've got Ollie Stone and Dylan Pennington, who are their real kind of two senior bowlers. So you've plenty of experience in that team, of course, but as you said, Aled, you know, not one to fear, particularly if you can get into the top order, obviously. Are we looking at like Hameed to be, you know, one of the key players with the bat and then Stone and Pennington with the ball? It's worth saying as well that Somerset were 407 for 5 declared from just 88 overs in their second innings. So they did get a chance to lay into the Notts bowlers a little bit, particularly Cola Cadmore and James Roo both scored hundreds. Ollie Stone returned wicketless. Pennington just got one. It was down to Paterson White to take four wickets, bowling 35 overs. So it must have been a typical Taunton Dust Bowl that looked at turn. One person I want to mention as well is Mohammed Abbas, who was at Notts last year, a key part of their title winning campaign, who's now gone to Derbyshire in Division 2. So as you say, Aled, definitely not unbeatable.
No, definitely not. And as I said, the likes of Surrey and Notts, who were at the top of the table last year, you know, those type of games, Glamorgan just have to go in with a positive mindset, no fear, and look to get as many points out of the game, play sensibly, but look to be positive as well and look to get as many points out of it as they can. If they can win the game, great. But especially away from home, just really, really put up a good fight. And it'll be a good benchmark, I think, in the second round of the championship, going up against the defending champions away from home. It'll be a really good benchmark of where this Glamorgan side are, I think. Not that Yorkshire weren't a test, because they were, but this is perhaps a step up again. And if they can come away from this game in a really positive way, then they'll be really encouraged for the rest of the season.
If we just leave that aside, that's a Glamorgan against Nottinghamshire this week. Elsewhere, Glamorgan women start their campaign this Sunday at home to Gloucestershire. They're playing at Sophia Gardens in the Metro Bank One Day Cup Women's League Two. That's a bit of a mouthful. but I think I got that pretty much all right. They had a really good season last year, Alid, as someone who covered them quite extensively. And of course, with Yorkshire now leaving Tier Two, Glamorgan have got to be the side that's pushing for all the titles, haven't they?
Yeah, it was an excellent season last season. I think going into it, obviously the first year of women's cricket in Glamorgan, nobody really knew what to expect. And they were fantastic last season, getting to, I think it was a final and a semi-final, two finals days in the end, and having some really good games against Tier 1 opposition as well, obviously with the view to move professional next year into Tier 1. And yeah, with as you say, with Yorkshire moving up this year, then the eyes might be on the titles. I was quite surprised to hear Rachel Priest say in an interview, I'm not sure if it was with you actually, or I can't remember who it was, but she talked about, you know, really focusing on next year as well and going fully professional, which, you know, is a little bit different to the usual cliche answer of we're taking it game by game and we're taking it one game at a time. She is, you know, clearly looking forward to next year with this team. And yeah, this year, I think, is all about moving the needle now towards that step up next year. And, you know, the academy is playing a big part in the Glamorgan side and the links with Wiltshire and with Gloucestershire as well within that. So there's a lot of opportunities, I think, this year for some of those players in the academy to play a big role. And as they get older and learn and develop, you know, I'm thinking the likes of Eve Jackson, who came through last season from the academy, you know, the likes of her could really play a big role this season.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going to be exciting times next year. They've had their warm-up game. They've just the one where they played Gloucestershire. They lost on Duckworth Lewis, but that's not something they're looking into too much. I spoke to Gemma Porter briefly at the men's game against Yorkshire last week, and she's not too worried about that. They all had a chance to have a bat and a bowl, those that needed to. So for those that don't necessarily know the women's side as well as the men's side, Ali, can you just give us three names, people to look out for this season as top performers?
Well, you mentioned one just there, Gemma Porter. And as the self-proclaimed president of the Gemma Porter fan club, I was delighted to hear that she was back this year, I believe on a permanent basis from Warwickshire. And yeah, just Women's Player of the Year last season at the club. Just a hallmark of consistency with the ball. And we saw that again in the game on the weekend, that warm-up game, and very, very handy with the bat and in the field as well. You know, she drives fantastic standards from herself and from the rest of the team. And then Beth Gammon as well. Beth Gammon is, you know, really somebody, again, who drives high standards in the field and with the bat as well. Really runs between the wickets hard and can play a big range of shots as well. And then looking to some of the other players, I think B. Ellis as well is another name that emerged last season. Came out the top of the order. Again, powerful player within the women's game, can hit boundaries. And coming through that Cardiff Met system, I think she's really learned a lot through the season last year and could have a really big year this year.
Well, they are a really strong side on the whole, and we look forward to how they get on. Also, I should plug that you should definitely get down and watch them at Sapphire Gardens this Sunday. Well, thank you to Alid for joining me on this episode where we looked ahead to the Notts game this coming weekend. You can also catch that on the Nottinghamshire live stream on YouTube. And also you can check out on Taff and Daff Srijana Deshmukh's previews for the women's season with interviews from Lauren Parfitt. Thank you for listening. Goodbye.